I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to look at an innovative approach to exploring what a neighborhood can be. Pre-Enact Indy is a collaborative pre-enactment theater event that encourages people to imagine what a neighborhood or a community might look like. My guests are Joanna Taft, Executive Director of the Harrison Center for the Arts and producer of Pre-Enact Indy, Bonnie Mill, Artistic Director at the Sapphire Theater Company and Director of Pre-Enact Indy, and Ron Lovett, neighbor in the Monon 16 neighborhood. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, or find us on social media. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking about a fascinating, I would say, amalgam of community theater and community engagement here on No Limits today. It's called Pre-Enact Indy. I don't want to give away much more than that because a lot of the fun is in unraveling the concept here. But if you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Joanna Taft. She is Executive Director of the Harrison Center for the Arts and producer of Pre-Enact Indy. Bonnie Mill, who is Artistic Director at the Sapphire Theater Company and Director of Pre-Enact Indy, and Ron Lovett, a neighbor in the Monon 16 neighborhood. Well, welcome to all of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's good to have you all here. So I think I'll just start. We probably ought to talk about what Pre-Enact Indy is. I'm also curious, and we'll get there eventually, but about how it came to be. I mean, what the genesis was and all of that. But why don't we talk, Joanna, why don't you start us by talking about what Pre-Enact Indy is?
So Pre-Enact Indy is a one-day theater event where we are partnering, 13 theaters are partnering to help the community imagine what a neighborhood ought to be. And so the set designers are building temporary buildings on vacant lots and activating vacant buildings. And the actors will act out an equitable world where there's justice, where there's equity, and where there's economic vibrancy for all.
You mean we don't live in that world now?
Maybe not.
Not so much? Okay.
And we all get to be a part. So right. I get to be an extra that day. And Ron, as a neighbor, gets to be there interacting as well. And so we get to try on a new way of living.
So how large is the cast for this, I'm thinking?
We'll have over 100 cast members.
Because you're looking at, if I understand it correctly, it's not like... I mean, the possibilities, I really want to talk to Bonnie about how you stage something like this, because it's, I can't imagine, you know, with a play, the contact is relatively one way, and the entry points are all the same. You've got the audience, and they're all looking at the same thing. But if I understand this concept correctly, Bonnie, mm-hmm. anybody walks into the drama at any point.
That's right.
And the stage itself is three blocks long.
That's correct.
With many different entry points.
That's correct.
So how do you do that?
Okay. Well, the first thing we did was the first thing you do with any play. You understand the story. You go in and you find out what that story is. You get to know the characters. And you get to understand what's important about this story and get to know why are we telling this story right now and what is it we want our audience to experience. So we started in the very same place that you start with any play. Mm-hmm. And so once we really started, and the Harrison Center has been working with this community for years and mm-hmm. getting to know who they are, the story there, all the neighbors, all the residents who've been living there and the business owners who have been there and some who are new. So we've been gathering that story. And then it's a matter of placing it on the stage and figuring out what element needs to be where. And we, you know, looked at this three blocks and figured out what businesses are there and what are they pre-enacting for themselves. How are they pre-enacting a better a neighborhood and community. So we talked to business owners who are now looking to hire people right in the neighborhood, things like that, getting to understand the importance of where they are. And then we talked to the actors about what the story was. And we have different theater companies. We have 13 different theater companies working with us, Freetown Village, Asante Children's Theater, IRT, all these different companies helping to, in their own way, help each group or organization or piece of the community actualize what it is they dream of and what their story is and what they want it to look like that day. And then we support it with all the cast and all the artists and artisans that we have in this amazing city.
So, Ron, you live in this area, right?
Yes.
Correct? Okay, so I got to ask, what's it like having your life turned into drama?
It's actually fun because I'm helping build the sets, and I started organizing neighbors and old neighbors to come and tell their stories about growing up in the neighborhood. So we've been meeting for a month now every Thursday, and it's been different neighborhood, old neighbors that I knew, grew up with, and the stories are just amazing. And Bonnie can tell you the actors are loving every story they hear.
Yeah. It's a very personal experience for everybody as well as a professional one.
So how did you decide, and I don't know if this is a Joanna question or a Ron question or a Bonnie, on which three blocks to use?
I think,
what are those three blocks? We probably ought to fix this in space
for someone. Three blocks are, it's 16th Street from Andrew J. Brown to the Monon. Okay. And I think I chose that because it seemed like there were partners there that could help us. I think the Oaks Academy as an anchor was good. And then the Monon seemed to be a natural boundary. So it seemed like it was a three blocks is a lot of space, but it also seemed doable with the partners that we had there.
So you settled on it for, in some ways, for utilitarian reasons.
Well, that's not why we chose that neighborhood.
Okay.
But in terms of, we could have gone on and on in that neighborhood. But in terms of a doable space that we could put on a pre-enactment, but it, in terms of choosing that neighborhood.
So why that neighborhood?
Yeah.
Then?
So the Harrison Center has been at 16th and Delaware for 16 years, and we've done a lot in our neighborhood to strengthen our neighborhood, and we've begun to partner in other neighborhoods around the city. And it's been interesting, as I've been talking to neighbors about what they want their neighborhood to be, they always talk about the good old days. And for a half second, I thought, oh, we should do a big reenactment of the good old days. But, you know, as soon as you start thinking about that, you realize the good old days really weren't that good. And so we realized that maybe theater could help us show what a healthy neighborhood looked like, but maybe we deserve better than reenactment. We deserve a pre-enactment. And so it was the Harrison Center's first opportunity to partner with theater to help us kind of put the neighborhood quality of life plan into action so the neighbors could see what their hopes and dreams looked like. And so that 16th and the Monon is just adjacent to the Harrison Center. And so as we're thinking about a healthy downtown, a healthy neighborhood, that was a natural next partnership.
We are talking about pre-enact Indy on No Limits today. It's a sort of fascinating, I'm still struggling with how to define it because it is large. It's a theatrical experience. It's a community engagement experience. In some ways, it sounds like it's also a therapeutic experience. if you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So, Bonnie, talk with me about how you prepare the actors for this. I mean, I did some acting when I was in college, and just enough to make me realize I wasn't very good at it. but I know a lot of it, at least in the theater. Yes, there is the part that involves expression and plumbing the depths of the character, but there's also the technical stuff like, you know, hitting your mark and all of that. It seems to me that that gets much more difficult when you don't exactly know where the audience is going to be or if there is an audience, because it sounds like the audience can disappear into the action here.
Sure, sure. Well, In preparing the actors, as Ron mentioned, one of the big things was just giving an opportunity to meet the people that they are working with, that they whose story they're embodying and furthering. That was a main thing. We've been meeting with the different groups. Different theater companies are meeting with different organizations and kind of partnering. So, for instance, No Exit Theater Company is working with the Falega Hiwat Center, which is a youth center that they cultivate farmers. They are doing landscaping and gardening, and they have chickens and honey and all this stuff. And that youth group, that group is part of this neighborhood and part of pre-enactment. So we had a theater company working with them on what is it they wanted to do, how did they want to bring about their presence there, and they decided that they wanted to start a business. So they've been working together on what is that business and using that as an opportunity. So for each theater company, it's been a little bit different. There are companies like Act a Fool Improv Crew and Freetown Village that are going to be throughout the three-block area, taking on characters who are interested in the area, who have been in the area, who are wanting to move into the area, and activating different different parts of the stages in different ways with how they're interacting. But it takes a lot of improvisational actors, which is a different kind of skill set. And so we've been really relying on, there's a huge pool of very talented actors here in Indianapolis who know how to do that improvisational performance. So we've been feeding them the history and the stories and what's been going on there and who's been living there for all these years and as much information, and then parceling out how they're going to spend their day and where they're going to spend it. And
do they create their own character, in effect? Do they say, I mean, create it, as in draft their own mm-hmm. character, you know?
Yeah, some are purely drafting a character based on stories that they've heard. For instance, we have one man who is going to be Uncle Red, who's going to be, Ron should talk about Uncle Red.
Yeah, I think that's your cue.
Yes.
Cue, Ron.
Yeah, when I was growing up in the neighborhood, there was a guy we called Red, and he rode a bicycle everywhere. And he cut grass throughout the whole neighborhood. And one of my friends is his nephew, so he calls him Uncle Red. And
Ryan
is going to mm-hmm. portray Uncle Red. He's got a farthing bike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A penny farthing bicycle.
A penny farthing bike, so he's going to portray Uncle Red. And he is a image almost identical to Red.
So, Ron, are you in this? Are you portraying yourself, or are you another character in the drama? Or
that I don't know.
We need Ron to be Ron.
Ron. Okay.
Yes, I will be there all day.
Yeah,
you're going to be there. What are your expectations for? I mean, it's a little. I can understand, you know, frankly, why Joanna and Bonnie would be excited about this, because it is sort of pushing the boundaries of theater mm-hmm. and all of that. So I can see why that would strike them as a challenge. On the other hand, there are people who would say, well, wait a second, I'm not sure I want my neighborhood or my home turned into, you know.
Well, what I look for is we've got so many new residents in the neighborhood, and we have a lot of older residents. So if they can merge together and kind of bond and get to know each other, then the new and the old will meet, and it will just be one neighborhood, not, you know, people building new houses versus people in the old houses. So I guess I'm trying to blend the neighborhood in.
There's such a rich history in this neighborhood that I am just so thrilled and honored to get to know, and that so many people didn't know. I mean, I think that's one of the most astounding things mm-hmm. about the young actors who have been so excited mm-hmm. about this. And we were supposed to meet twice. We are continuing to meet every Thursday because nobody wants to stop meeting. So I think it's that sense of importance about the history and the story, and not having that be lost as the area develops.
As it becomes something else. Probably ought to talk about the logistics here of also, if people want to attend this, when does it begin? When does Ron sort of pull the curtain? And when do Ron and his neighbors sort of pull the curtain down and say, okay, enough, we're going back to living our lives now?
Yeah, the event is Saturday, October 7th from 10 to 5, and there's a great schedule and map on the website, www.preenactment.org. And you can see the things that will be happening all day and the things that are happening just at 10 or 1 or 5. You can choose your schedule, what you'd like to experience that day. There would definitely be more to see than we have time for, though.
Well, we will pick that up on the other side. We're talking about Pre-Enact Indy today on No Limits. My guests are Joanna Taft of the Harrison Center for the Arts, Bonnie Mill of the Sapphire Theater Company, and Ron Lovett, one of the neighbors in the neighborhood that's going to be part of the stage. I'm John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about Pre-Enact Indy, which is a live theatrical production that is much more than that. It's going to be this Saturday. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Joanna Taft. She is executive director of the Harrison Center for the Arts and producer of Pre-Enact Indy. Bonnie Mill, who is artistic director at the Sapphire Theater Company and director of Pre-Enact Indy, and Ron Lovett, who is a neighbor in the Monon 16 neighborhood. Sounds like he's also part of the production crew and is going to be acting.
He's the spine of all this.
He's
the glue.
An essential part. So, Joanna, before we went to the break, I asked you to talk about how people could find out information if they wanted to attend. Could you give them the website again real quickly
and
the schedule?
Yes. It's www.preenactment.org. So instead of reenactment, it's preenactment.
Preenactment. And is there a cost to attend?
It's free.
It's free.
But we'll have things to buy.
Okay.
That's
so,
right.
So how do you pay for it? I mean, it sounds like there's a fair amount of construction. Are the actors all donating their time and energy, or are they?
No, we started, Harrison Center applied for an Our Town grant with the NEA, and that got us our first $75,000, which was, we had to match. And the state helped us match that, and Patronicity and other funders joined in. By the time all is said and done, it will be over $200,000.
So it's $200,000, yeah, to pull this together. Where did the idea come from?
I've been trying to figure out how you revitalize a neighborhood and still be inclusive. And I've been watching the national conversation and watching here in Indianapolis as well. And I had a little theory. What would happen if we elevated the stories of the long-term residents and the long-term businesses and the neighborhood? And what if when new people moved into a neighborhood, they felt invited into an existing story rather than seeing the neighborhood as a blank slate? And so we've been trying to do that through art and visual art and music at the Harrison Center, but it wasn't quite enough. And I thought, what if theater could help us? What if we could visualize a world, a neighborhood that's revitalized but also inclusive? And maybe it would give us something to work toward. Maybe we could see it and try it on and leave the event thinking, oh, that's what it looks like. I'm going to work toward that.
So is this a little bit of a, you know, I'm struggling with the concept a bit, but sort of resisting the idea of gentrification as a new form of colonization,
right?
Basically,
I would say it's an anti-gentrification project. I think that we are trying to revitalize a neighborhood and be inclusive and honor the story of the neighborhood.
Is that a concern in the neighborhood, Ron? I mean, you've lived there all your life, right?
Oh yes. There's I'm a longtime resident, and there's other longtime residents, and in fact, at pre-enactment, there's going to be a talk on property tax relief by some city county councilmen, and I think a state representative are going to be there, and I forget the time.
But 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock. They're going to talk about property tax relief. There's a bill at the State House that they're proposing.
Yeah, unless unless the theater has changed greatly from the time I was around it. Joanna and Bonnie can tell you when things are going to happen right to the second.
Yes.
Following up with that, so we've renamed a lot there called the Beckwith Commons. Frank Beckwith was the very first African-American to run for president and make it to the primary level, and he's from that neighborhood. Mm. And so at the Beckwith Commons, we're actually having speakers all day, kind of like at Hyde Park in London. Mm-hmm. And at 2 o'clock, Bob Ossoli is going to come, and he's going to talk about this gentrification bill that's before the state will be heard in November about providing relief for long-term residents.
So how many, Bonnie, what sets did you have to create for this? I mean, I'm sure in some ways the neighborhood itself is your stage. And you have sets that you can't alter there. I'm assuming people do not want their houses torn down just to improve the aesthetic.
No, unfortunately there was plenty of space to work with.
Okay.
So one of the main places that we are creating on one of the major empty lots is called the Dream Cultural Center. And the reason that we wanted to have this Dream Cultural Community Center as something that we pre-enacted for this neighborhood is because when we were gathering not only the stories of the neighborhood, but what they dreamed about, what they want, what is an ideal future, a lot of people want the arts and they want the culture, but they also were afraid that their culture was disappearing, mm-hmm. their stories. So we put it smack dab in the middle, and we have created this huge facade and a stage, and we're filling it. The seating is going to be about 50 to 75 lime green yoga balls that people can sit on and they can move around, because we're going to be doing kids programming and youth programming and cultural dance and all this kind of thing. And everybody can join in. Everybody can watch. There's plenty of spaces to sit down. We've made spaces so that people who may have trouble getting up there can sit down comfortably, so that it is multi-generational friendly. But the Dream Cultural Center, the architecture of that is based on an African-American movie theater that was a few blocks over in the neighborhood in the early 1900s till about 1960-something, I believe. I might be wrong on that. But so, and it was called The Dream. So what a great name, or what a great thing to bring back and to have us at the center of this three-block stage. So that's a good example. But we're also taking some other buildings and building a facade on it so that there's a play that happens throughout the day, that three women come in and out of these doors and play off of the being in this neighborhood, and so you'll meet them. We are putting some facades to help boost the image of some of the street, some of the buildings that are a little challenged right now. But we've basically taken every space and figured out, okay, how can we take this space and pre-enact something, whether it needed to be a whole building or whether it just needed to be an area or an intention. For instance, the Oaks Academy has been there forever. It's a beautiful building. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that needed to be done about that space. But we have learned that the Dunbar Library, the first African-American library in Indiana, was in that space. And the Dunbar Library is still engraved over that doorway. So we're cleaning that up. We're inviting people in. We're intentionalizing that room and making a history center. And the school is right behind that. And they're working with School 26 alumni that used to be in that school. Mm-hmm. And so it's reimagining that space, and that's not a physical change, but a community change.
So how did you go about, and I'll ask this of all three of you, you know, it seems to me an essential piece of this was gathering the stories. How did that process start? I mean, how did you get people in? Because that's not a natural sort of conversation starter. Oh, please come in and tell me all about your neighborhood and your experience with your neighborhood.
Well, the Harrison started probably 2 or 3 years ago collecting stories in that neighborhood, and we sent our artists in to create art. And in the process of creating art, they collected stories, and we recorded stories. And then as we were launching this effort about 2 years ago, we started working with the Oaks Academy and working with the neighbors along the street to collect their stories, and everybody would introduce us to someone else. Mm-hmm. And when we met Ron, then everything just kind of, you know, 6 months ago, we really learned the stories. But
we found the hub.
I think we found that people love to tell stories. I think they love to share what they're proud of. And I think that we collected about 65 recurring themes, 65 things that people said again and again and again over the 3 years. And those have all been integrated into the script. And they're everything from penny candy, even though they had penny candy in the past, they want penny candy in the future, to better sidewalks, you know, things that we all want. And to be known. To be known was a big one.
How long is the script? I mean, when you say it's been incorporated into the script, is it okay? We are not in a visual medium.
Okay, this is a big. I'm holding up a binder that says the production script. It is a whole binder with tabs and everything else. I have a little bit of an office supply fetish, but we put these binders together. It is a whole binder's worth of information, and that's the whittled down part. I also have a file case full of all these stories and notes from sitting with people and all of that.
So it's not a typical strip. Yeah. Well, not every actor is reading things word for word. Mm-hmm. So some of it are prompts and historical information they need to include and hopes and dreams they need to include as they improvise.
Yeah, because in part because if it's going to be interactive, you know, in the theater you often can control the dynamic there.
Yes.
But if, you know, people are entering the action who aren't scripted, then you have a whole different challenge.
Yes.
So, Ron, which stories were most important to you to see included in this when they talk about collecting stories?
Pretty much how cohesive the neighborhood was. You could just play and do things without any worry.
I think you said you were born in the neighborhood?
No, I grew up in the neighborhood.
You grew up in the neighborhood. How old were you when you moved there?
Eight.
8 years old?
I was in the third grade. Attended school 26.
Okay. And what is now the Oaks Academy?
And graduated from 26.
Okay.
As many of the old storytellers that came to tell us stories, we all graduated from
there. So have you lived in that neighborhood ever since you were 8 years old?
Pretty much, except a couple years when we moved out. But I always moved back.
What keeps drawing you back?
I just like the neighborhood. I mean, I grew up there, and I know a lot of people, and a lot of the older people I grew up with are still there. So I see them, and all my buddies come back and tell stories. You know, we grew up, and they sit at my house, and we talk about the old times. You know, going to Omar Bakery and getting broken cookies from the ladies at the back door on Saturdays, and Polk Milk Company giving little cups of ice cream with the wooden spoon, and we'd sit there and eat our ice cream and cookies on the curb. So those are, you know, the stories we grew up with.
We are talking about Pre-Enact Indy. It's a live theater production that is actually much more than that. It's going to take place this Saturday from 10 to 5. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So I'm going to ask this. What kind of experience do you hope that the audience will have from this? I'm going to start with Bonnie because I've been throwing all of these first at Joanna, and that's not fair. So
I hope that people step into a vibrant, live, engaged, happy, safe, comfortable space as though it had always existed there and will always exist there. I hope that people walk away knowing more about our history as people in Indiana, in Indianapolis. This is a whole part of my history as a Hoosier that I didn't know. And I know that there are reasons that a lot of these stories have not surfaced, but I want to make sure that people know who has been here and who is here and how important this area is to the whole fabric of our city.
Joanna.
I think that we're going to make the neighborhood look really beautiful, but that's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. This is about inspiring people to change their hearts. to think about how they can be more equitable, how they can be more inclusive, how they can enter into other people's stories and not rewrite their stories. And so I hope that people will come and actually make decisions to change the way they do business mm-hmm. or to change the way they relate to their neighbor. I've actually had to think about a lot of things in my own life that I need to mm-hmm. change through this pre-enactment process. And so we're inviting people in Indianapolis to pre-enact, not just to come and observe, but to actually pre-enact themselves.
Don't worry, Ron. I'm not going to forget about asking you what you hope to get out of it. But something Joanna said intrigues me. What sorts of things in your own life?
Oh, my goodness.
That out of this process you've learned you need to change?
Well, some new businesses moved into pre-enactment, into that area, when we weren't expecting them. And so I went to them and I said, you know, how are you going to pre-enact? You know, and I was telling them they had to be a part of this. And then I went home and I realized I needed to pre-enact. So I need to think about how do I relate to my staff? What kind of neighbor am I? What are the different areas where I can be more just, more equitable? And how can I, instead of asking other people to change the way they behave, how can I start doing that as well?
So what do you want the audience to get out of this, Ron? Since they're looking at your life here, basically, and the lives of your neighbors.
Just to see a vibrant neighborhood that's growing. Yeah, I mean, it's recycling back into a neighborhood from going from a great neighborhood to, it went downhill, crime and drugs, and now it's back to being a vibrant neighborhood. And I want to see all my old buddies come back down there and see the changes that are being made.
How will the imagined neighborhood be different from the real one? I mean, that's part of what the point of this experiment here is, to get people to imagine how things might be different.
Well, right now, I think the stats are that 50% of the land is undeveloped. Mm-hmm. And I think 33% of the houses are vacant. The ones that are left are vacant. And probably another 33% of the buildings. So it's a neighborhood that has had a lot of challenges. It's a neighborhood that's going to change very quickly in the next couple of years. There have been a number of things that have been announced, developments that have been announced. So what you're going to see is, instead of a neighborhood that's been gentrified in the traditional way where people have been pushed out, mm-hmm. you're going to see a neighborhood that is inclusive, is revitalized, is healthy, is functioning, where people know their neighbors and everyone's included in the story.
Bonnie, since you're directing it, I'm going to ask the same question to you. How will the imagined, this three-block area, be different than the one that exists in the reality now?
Well, in some ways, I think that the process that we've all gone through together is creating somewhat more of a reality than you might mm-hmm. have in theater generally. So I will say that's a little different. But I think what we've all imagined together is a neighborhood that is filled in, that is, everybody is getting to know each other. People are cross-pollinization. The neighbors are getting to know the business owners. The business owners are getting to know each other. The school parents are going into the businesses. And I think that hadn't happened, but I think that people will start to see that happen. And what I want people to see is a target that we can all hit together.
So at some level, it at least what I think I hear you both saying to some degree is that, to use the cliche, you want people here to act the part till they become the part.
Yes, sure.
And out of this process, then you will create the very thing that you are imagining.
Correct. And that's already happened. I mean, I've, like Joanna, I have gone through a process of, how can I pre-enact my own life a little better? How can I be more open, more sensitive, more aware, and even aware of my own boundaries and fears. And I have been able to walk into places that, I'd never seen before at the inside, have driven by. I've been able to meet people I hadn't met before. And getting an opportunity to do that in a genuine, authentic way, I think is going to change, I hope, is going to continue to change and evolve this neighborhood and all of us around it.
We are talking about Pre-Enact Indy today on No Limits. My guests are Joanna Taft. She's executive director of the Harrison Center for the Arts and producer of Pre-Enact Indy. Bonnie Mill, who is artistic director at the Sapphire Theater Company, and director of Pre-Enact Indy, and Ron Lovett, who is a neighbor in the Monon 16 neighborhood, cast member, production crew, all sorts of other stuff. It sounds like inspiration as well. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about Pre-Enact Indy. It is a live theatrical production that will take place on three blocks along 16th Street here in Indianapolis this Saturday from 10 to 5. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So I want to ask also about, and we've kind of alluded to this, because this neighborhood, it hasn't been an unblemished success story. We've alluded to some of the problems, the down cycles in its growth, and we can talk about that also as part of the larger Indianapolis or Indiana or even a national story where, you know, urban cores became abandoned at times, certainly did not get the attention that they deserved. Is that going to be part of this story as well?
Well, the history of this neighborhood, I think, changed when the highway went through.
Yeah it did, as it did in most American cities.
Absolutely.
When the interstates went through,
yeah.
And that, there was a huge fight back in the 50s about Eisenhower originally wanted, I think, to have all of the interstate exits out in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. that you'd have to use local roads to access them. But there was no way he could get Congress to approve the funding for those if there weren't going to be major construction projects that urban congressmen could sign off on.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that we've done and how it's not a reenactment, mm-hmm. but a pre-enactment, mm-hmm. is that that has been a very, a big wound for mm-hmm. this community, is still feeling the hurt from that decision and that time. But in order to pre-enact and bring in how we would change that, we are now, 16th Street along there is so dangerous. It's so fast. People are zooming out of the city. There was one car that actually, hit a little bit of a hill and ran into a building and busted out a wall. I mean, it's a very dangerous area. So what we're pre-enacting is we are creating a middle-of-the-road cafe. And we are taking the
Those actors are taking their lives into
we got lots of barriers, police, right. Everything else. We've been working with DPW. We're doing it smart. The concept is an area that was ruined when the road came through. We're putting a cafe in the middle of the road and slowing down traffic, taking it down to one lane on each side and diverting them to one lane so that everything is slowed down and so that people can, instead of, the road ruining the community, we're putting the community in the middle of the road.
Okay. Maybe we're viewing the road as a river.
Yes. Well,
sitting
yeah.
by the river.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So on this day, it's going to be possible then for people to just sit out in the middle of 16th Street and have a cup of coffee or a sandwich or something.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. So traffic will still be coming through. It's four lanes that we're taking down to two. Mm-hmm. So cars will still drive through slowly, mm-hmm. and we'll have police there to help us. Mm-hmm. But you can sit in the middle of the road cafe and mm-hmm. order food.
Okay. I'm wondering if I would have the trust involved to do something like that at this moment, but you probably are going to get some folks who are braver souls than I am. So, I mean, something like that, I'm assuming you are not making the coffee or producing the sandwiches yourselves. You have partners who are working with you, community businesses that are doing so.
Right. Join. So we have some really great local businesses. So Country Kitchen is going to be behind one of the storefronts, and Daryl's Catering, which is known in that neighborhood, will be there. And Festiva is a very popular restaurant that's on that stretch. And then all the local nonprofit partners are helping in different ways. So Feligi Haiwat actually makes Ethiopian food, and they will be selling Ethiopian food at our farmers market. And so the other nonprofits are helping as well. But we have some other new businesses like Monon Lofts across the street. They're participating, and they're doing an affordable housing fair. So you can go there and also get a different kind of feeding, I guess, information. But then across the street from Monon Lofts is Tinker House Events, which is a brand new restoration of an industrial building. They're opening a coffee shop. It's not quite open yet, but they're going to kind of open it for us. And then we're going to have a jazz club with food up on the second floor for this pre-enactment. Bonnie, what are some of yours?
Well, Eastside Variety Shops. Charlotte Martin is reopening Eastside Variety Shops so that she can offer some penny candy and a whole bunch of things. And then on the other side,
Ron's going to stock up.
Yes. All those grandchildren need that. And then on the other side, Freetown Village is going to be enacting a barbershop, and we're going to have a shoe shiner. But we also, True Victory Church is going to be open. They're actually, this is real life. Reverend Moreland and First Lady Moreland are celebrating their 30th anniversary. So they're going to do a vow renewal ceremony, and we're all invited. And so the church is going to be open all day with music and everything else, but the commitment ceremony is at 2. We're invited, and there's a reception right outside the church, so come and have cake. It's really wonderful. Hat Kings is right across the street. They're a very new business, and they have jumped in with both feet, and they're getting themselves ready to go, having like a vendor fair. We've got the Flower Hut right behind there. They've been there for a long time. The family has owned that, and they're going to be involved, and they're getting they're offering boutonnieres to all of the leaders in the community, and they're going to have flower arrangements. Who else? The Matt's building will be open. They're going to bring some funky cars to show. Goodness, there's so much going on.
Well, the one thing I don't hear here, and I think this is going to decide whether it's a success through Ron's eyes, is whether you've got anyone giving away the broken cookies.
And we will have broken cookies.
And the little bit of ice cream with a wooden spoon.
Gordon's ice cream will be there, and there will be broken cookies.
Yes.
There'll be a cookie trail you can follow.
You can follow along.
That's right.
So let me ask this. What do you see as, because this is a huge multifaceted, and I probably have been remiss in that. Has anyone ever tried something like this before, or is this the first that you know of?
We Googled the term pre-enactment, and we found some lightsaber competition in 2003. Okay. So we think that it's new for this, that we're the only ones that are really using it and in this application. So it's not science fiction. This is neighborhood revitalization.
So it is a new, and I mean, in terms of the theater, has anybody tried to do something on this scale before with...
We don't know of anybody who has done this. There have been a lot of Better Block programs, as Joanna mentioned earlier, that use either the businesses that are there or the creative juices or the visual artists in the community. But we don't know of anybody else who has really tried to manage this kind of project and do it with theater and to use theater to invigorate and revitalize.
Yeah, this is professional theater. This is professional theater.
And the artists are all paid. And that's the other thing that I find really amazing about this is not only is there a huge benefit in the community. For instance, the Variety Store, Under the Sun Market is helping that woman. Is Charlotte Martin, who's the woman who owns the Variety Store, helping to supply her and support her. And then she will be the beneficiary of that because she's been interested in starting a bakery with her granddaughter, who is a baker on the street and is a baker at the Festiva restaurant and things like that. So all of it will benefit people who are in the community, but also all of the theater artists have been paid and our talents are being compensated, and that is really important to the Harrison Center and also to the Sapphire, because it's impossible to really cultivate a culture with volunteer artists all the time. So that's been an important part and a way that the Harrison Center has invested in the community.
We've gotten an email from regular listener Kenny. And again, if you want to join this conversation, you can do what Kenny has done and send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can call us at 866-476-3881. Or you can find us on social media either at Facebook, No Limits WFYI, or on Twitter at WFYI. Kenny writes, I grew up at the 21st Boulevard Senate before I-65 was run through it. It was a very healthy place to grow up in the 50s and 60s. Frank Beckwith was not from that area. He lived and existed in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He was a good friend of my grandparents, an entire episode of America himself. If your pre-enactment does not address the reasons why the black and racially diverse middle class was forced out of this once vibrant core of Indianapolis, then you are just another feel-good fantasy. I hope you are not that. From Indiana Avenue to Butler Tarkington was the core of Indianapolis cultural life, and its decimation as a cultural center is not an accident.
Yeah, so the neighborhood leaders were the ones that came to us and asked us to include the Frank Beckwith story. And gave us his address, and so mm-hmm. It's been really amazing to be able to celebrate his legacy in the neighborhood. And I think that, again, this is not a Band-Aid. We're not trying to make the neighborhood look good. We're trying to understand the pain that the neighborhood went through mm-hmm. and then make decisions about how we're going to do things differently. And that's what pre-enacting is. We're not reenacting. We're not going back to the past. We're actually changing the way we're
trying to imagine mm-hmm. what it could be.
And changing our behavior. Mm-hmm. We need to change our behavior. Yeah,
and it's interesting. I mean, since this project began, that street in particular has it's obviously slated for new growth and development. It already, you know, when we very first started this project, we already saw businesses going in and that it has that pre-energy of developers looking at it and all this. And so in my mind, I think this area is going to develop. It seems very clear that this is going to keep going and that this is going to be an area that develops. Our hope is that by bringing this story to life and making sure that everybody understands what this area has been, that it doesn't get developed in a way that other areas in Indianapolis have, where the story gets erased.
Well, and I guess to be fair, and Kenny, I'm going to take some liberties with your question. The spirit of Kenny's question
sure.
seems to be, though, you can't solve a problem unless you first acknowledge that it exists.
Oh, sure. Right.
And that Kenny wants some acknowledgement that those problems did exist.
Absolutely.
Yes, and that's why we interviewed the neighbors to find out what the story of the neighborhood is. And that's how we found out about the interstate tearing them apart and the mm-hmm. The fact that the Dunbar Library was a segregated library. You know, all these things came out in the stories.
Yeah, and the fact that many of these interstates, not just in Indianapolis, but elsewhere around the country, yeah. were through predominantly African-American neighborhoods.
Right.
They were the ones that were blown apart.
And plus, we're honoring some of the heroes that mm-hmm. are from the neighborhood. You know, Dr. Mary Bush and Father Strange, George Hawkins, they were mentors in the neighborhood and leaders in the neighborhood. And we have a billboard up with their pictures. And we have some young leaders of the neighborhood also on that billboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've reclaimed, you know, the billboards that advertise McDonald's. Or, I'm sorry, that advertise other businesses. We reclaim them as frames for art to tell stories of place. And so there's a billboard that an artist created about the Dunbar Library and one about neighborhood heroes. Finding every way we can to reimagine the neighborhood.
As a, you know, with a traditional theatrical production, the standards for success are, you know, I mean, first one is economic, whether you put enough, you know, bodies in the seats mm-hmm. To cover costs mm-hmm. and obviously to get the performers paid mm-hmm. and all of that. And, you know, whether the reviews are kind mm-hmm. or something like that, but that predisposes that it's a common experience. It presupposes that it's a common experience. You know, the critic sees the same play that everyone else sees. With this, how are you going to define it as a success? Because, you know, as I see it, no one's going to have the same experience there. We're all going to be seeing slightly different things. At least, even if you cover the whole thing, you're going to be seeing them at different moments that other people engage with them, probably with slightly different emphasis and all of that. So what constitutes success?
I think that a lot of people think of this as a one-day event, and it's not. We mm-hmm. have been working on this for years, and we're mm-hmm. going to continue to work in the neighborhood after this. So the stories, the history, the relationships that have been collected and built, to me, are the success that are being celebrated on that day and shared with the rest of the community. I don't know, Bonnie talks really...
I think that one of the big successes, some of it's already happened, and some of our actors who are learning stories and making connections with people in the community that are not going to go away either. I think success is going to be if people who are here, who come to see this, who come to experience it, walk away knowing more about this area, who has lived here, the stories, the important people and things that have happened here, and that this story becomes more and more known and that it is celebrated as a part of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. And I also hope that theater will this new art form take on, this mm-hmm. pre-enactment? Mm-hmm. Will actors mm-hmm. be able to partner with other communities that are struggling, that need to understand the backstory, the pain the neighborhood went through, and then pre-enact a future? Can theater become a new partner in neighborhood revitalization that helps
us? A vehicle
us?
For healing, yes. basically, mm-hmm. so that you can move forward. So, Ron, I imagine success for you is something a little different. I mean, what is it about your neighborhood, the place that you keep coming back to, that you most want the people who come to see this to get?
To see the neighborhoods growing. I've had 3 friends already ask me about buying houses and lots in their area so they can move into the area. So if my friends want to move there, that means the area is growing and it's going to be prosperous and that's what I want to see people get out of this.
Are these friends who have lived there before?
Or no, these are new friends.
These are new friends?
Yeah, these are new friends that I worked with. And we all worked on the fire department together. And they know the area. And they've known the area for years. And now they want to move there. They lived in Franklin Township or out by Geist. Now they want to move back to the city.
So, well, we probably ought to go through quickly again, how people can attend if they choose to. It is from?
It's on Saturday, October 7th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the schedule and the map are all on www.preenactment.org.
And again,
it's free.
There's no charge. I'm assuming mm-hmm. they have to, you know, if they're going to sit in that cafe and have the cars whizzing back and forth by them, they have to pay for their food. But
right. There's some great food to buy, but the experience is free.
And parking, is that a problem, or are there directions for that? On the
I
website?
Hope parking will be a problem. Okay. I want people to have to walk a long ways to get with us, but it'll be along 16th Street and in parking lots in the neighborhood.
There's parking maps on the website.
I'd like to thank my guests, Joanna Taft, Bonnie Mill, and Ron Lovett, for a fascinating conversation. Also like to thank our listeners. We will be back on Thursday when we're going to be talking about how we can better help and serve orphans. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining
us. No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.